A master finds all listening within. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capitol, California, with a thought for today. Masters find all listening within. How do you listen within? How do you learn to listen within? This is something we would all like to do. We have been reading books, and we have been studying, and we have been listening, but we have not found how to listen within. Our greatest joy, our greatest thrill, our greatest activity in life seems to be in checking up on what's going on in the world around us. What is going on in the world around us? What things are happening? We like to read books that are written by noble people who have done noble things, who have been with masters, who have been masters themselves. We like to read these books, and we like to be aware of what their thinking is and how they've gained that illumination that they have. And when we get right down to it, their illumination and our illumination is the same thing. Their illumination is their awareness of what's going on. Now, there's always a precursor to everything that goes on in the world. And this precursor to everything that goes on in the world happens to people who listen within. They're listening to that divine spark within them. They're listening to the wisdom within them. And they're thinking, yes, that's a possibility. Yes, I won't be thought too outrageously crazy if I think those thoughts. The sort of thing that Buck Rogers presented years ago in the comic strips, and what Superman tells us, and how the kryptonite is something that's so important in the life of Superman, and all these various things, and we learn them, and we're listening within, and then we write the stories. And we write these stories, and people say, oh, that's so interesting. That's so fantastic. And then time passes very shortly, and the very things that are being written about as fantasy, as imagination, are beginning to be revealed in the lives of everyone, not just the magical people, not just the people who have studied under the masters, not just the people who have done in-depth training of themselves and cause themselves to meditate deeply and to think deeply, but to everyone. Now, why is it that all the world should have the benefit of my listening within? Why should the whole world have the benefit of my Buck Rogers or my Superman? Why should all the world have the benefit of my dreaming? Well, that's just the way it is. All this information, all these facts, all these concepts, all these ideas are all there. They're all there and there for us to know. Now, some of us, we want to dash off to the Himalayan mountains and we want to study with the masters there and we want to deprive ourselves of everything as we listen within and as we train ourselves and as we discipline ourselves and as we do all these things that bring about this awareness within ourselves, and nothing happens. And then we have some of these young people who are living in this day and age who get an idea, as they had in all previous generations, but now they have the ability to carry it out. They get an idea, they get an illumination, they get an inspiration, and they go and carry it out, and they become multi-billionaires, and they bring forth some fantastic product that everybody seems to want and love and delight in. Yes. Some of them are pure games, and wonderful as they are. But what's happening? Masters find all by listening within. Well, these young people who are uninhibited and listen within and come up with these beautiful concepts that they come up with, and that they make themselves into very wealthy people, very happy people. And so then they develop their concept, and they don't have the patience to go further with it, so they sell it. And then they take the money they get from selling their concept to use for developing other concepts and developing other ideas. And then they sell those and go on to develop others. Why don't they hang on? Well, they're not possessed by them. And this is perhaps where all of us fall short. We become so readily possessed by whatever it is that we create. If we write a piece of music, if we compose something, if we write a book, if we make a statue, or if we do a painting, if we sing a song, that's my song. That's my painting. That's my statue. That's my work of art. And we're possessed by it. As long as we're possessed by it, we're not in the development stage. We're not in the revealing stage. We're not in the true listening within. We're not in that true listening within stage that says, hey, this is a great idea. I have no idea how I'm going to use it or what it's for, but it's a great idea, and I'm going to present it so others can use it. My son, Mark, was a great deal like that. We were in the Experimental Aircraft Association years ago when he was a young man. And as we were in the Experimental Aircraft Association, they had meetings, I believe it was once a week. And we would go to these meetings. And also coming to these meetings were the aerospace people who were in the neighborhood, who were at McConnell Douglas and so forth. And they were building aircraft, and they were coming up with ideas for thinking. Well, now, in their work, at their workplace, in their laboratories, in their scientific places where they worked, they were sort of drained. They were sort of limited because they knew educationally what could be done. They knew educationally what should be done. They knew educationally. And so did everybody else in their environment. Everybody else in their environment knew exactly what the limits were. And then they come to the Experimental Aircraft Association, and they come to Mark Barley, and they see him. And Mark has had a vision the night before, and he designed the aircraft devices, and he designed pneumatic pumps, and he designed all sorts of things that he has no interest in using. But he designed them because they were there, and he drew them, and he told the aerospace engineers who came to the EAA meeting, he told them all about his imagination, he showed them his drawings, and the next thing you know, they took those drawings and put them to work at their aircraft company. And we often said to Mark, Mark, you're giving away all your ideas. He said, no, I'm not. He says, these are just the beginnings of lots of ideas, and I'm not ready to do anything with them right now, and they are. And by the time I'm ready to do something with my ideas, they'll be far advanced from anything that I'm doing right now, and they'll be more meaningful for what I want to do it. He said, life is like that. And I said, Mark, you are a most amazing person. Well, Mark is now building electric airplanes. And he has built ultralight airplanes, and they are just stupendous and beautiful. And now he's building electric airplanes, and his electric airplanes are flying very well, and everyone is taking great note of them. Well, he was at a fly-in up in Washington State, and at this fly-in, they had a joint affair there. They had World War II memorabilia and equipment, as well as his ultralight. And he was the only one there with the electric airplane. And he was flying his electric airplane up above the field and just having himself a wonderful time. And the rain was drizzling down, and he didn't have his equipment totally covered, ready for that rain, but he was flying with his electric airplane in the rain. And all of a sudden, he felt a shudder. And he thought, oh my goodness, something has shortened out. I'll have to just land. Well, you know, you just glide in for a landing. It's no great serious thing and certainly nothing serious to mark. And so he glided in. But on the way in, he noticed right underneath him was a tank. And there was smoke coming out of the big gun of the tank. And the tank's gun was aimed right at him. And he says, oh, that must have been what was the problem. And he saw paper flying all over in the sky where the gun had been loaded with newspapers. And then it was kapoofed up into the sky and aimed right at Mark's airplane. And so Mark landed. And he came down and he talked to the fellow who was running the tank. And he says, you know, that's rather dangerous. You really shouldn't aim that at anybody because that's a violent thing to do. And the man who knew he was wrong, and he knew that what he had done was stupid and childish and idiotic and really dangerous, and he denied everything that was said to him. And Mark said, well, you better get your act in order before you hurt somebody. And so Mark walked away back to his airplane, and then as he walked away, he saw the officials from the fly-in coming over to the tank. And afterwards, the officials came to Mark and said, we talked to that fellow, and we told him how serious it was, and he really apologized all over the place. He was very, very sorry that he had been so foolish. And now Mark could have been very unhappy about it. He could have taken the guy to court. He could have done all sorts of things. But Mark looked at that activity, and he thought, no damage. I learned a lesson. I want to be careful what type of people I create in my environment, in my world. Do I want people shooting at my airplane, even out of thinking that nothing is going to come of it? Just like children who shoot their guns at each other and say, bang, you're dead. I'm not going to have that in my world at all, Mark said. I'm not going to live in that type of consciousness at all. He says, I'm living in the consciousness of dreaming. I got some new ideas from that about covering my electric engine, about covering my wiring, about taking care of what I'm working on, and walking my dream. And he said, I gained a lot by listening within and not getting out there to be unhappy about it, but just listening within and having something beautiful take place. And we all are masters, and we all find all that is by listening within. And from the time that when Mark was a young lad to the time now when he's a grown man with his own aircraft factory, building ultralight airplanes, selling them around the world, and doing those things, and now designing electric aircraft, just having the time of his life, all on a modest budget, but all the genius of his mind. Oh, lots of people liked to buy his ideas from him and buy his creativity from him. But he said, no, you can take what you want that I have today because tomorrow it'll be quite different because new ideas will come to me. I'll be listening within, and as I listen within, great imaginative thoughts come to me and reveal to me all the wonder and all the genius and all the magic that there is in the world. And it's really quite exciting. And I live in a very exciting world, Mark said. I live in a world where my mind is so flooded with ideas that the young people of today are nothing to me because they think and listen within, and I think and listen within. And as I think and listen within, I find all that I look for. And it's never mine. I don't possess it. I just delight in using it. I delight in having it mine. I delight in knowing that everything I do is beautiful and good. Can you and I be untouchable, one-pointed, unpossessed, non-judgmental? Can you and I be so unconditionally loving that magic comes to us, it doesn't fleet from us? It is ours all the time. When we have self-dedication to what we want to do, self-determination of how we want to do it, self-diligence in doing it, and self-discipline in being true to who we are. We are the masters who find all listening within. And as we find all listening within, our life is truly a great adventure and a wonderful experience of peace and love, joy and honor, goodness at every turn. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you.